Saturday morning.
Well, I'm riding along.
Well, we're going to be doing some riding this weekend, huh, babe?
Cannot wait. I'm cutting out early, just so you know.
Load up the horses.
Yep.
Hitting the road. Going to have us an Arizona staycation on horseback.
Yep.
It's going to be great. Good morning, y'all. Come on into my house. It's Rosie on the house. Here we go. Here's my favorite part.
I'm happy and I'm free.
Woo-hoo. Your Arizona Saturday morning tradition for 29 years. We throw the door open to my house. We invite you in. Come on in. Pour that first cup of coffee. Have a seat. Let's visit for a little while. Hey, did you see? You want to talk about the governor first? You want to talk about our... It was St. Patrick's Day this week. Should we talk about our favorite little leprechaun?
Yes, we should.
I've known him for 30 years. I never dared call him that. But when they called him that at the roast, I thought, okay, well.
We're talking about Pat McMahon, of course.
Pat McMahon.
We had the privilege of attending his roast.
He was called a lot of things that night.
A hobbit. A pygmy. And you know what? Whenever I see Pat, I don't know him personally like you do, but he's kind of always in character. You know, he's vaudeville background, grew up actually from the age of 5 for 12 years, toured the world with his mom and dad, who had their own vaudeville show. So he's kind of got that mindset, and he's always kind of in character, you know?
Lived in New Orleans for a while.
Mm-hmm. And they set him up on the stage, and he just settled in, and he was just like, bring it on. It was genuine laughter, just out of character, you know? It was just a fun angle for me to get to see growing up with him.
He was called a lot of things that night, and we've mentioned kind of the things that were making fun of him, but he was also called a great gentleman, a great humanitarian, a great contributor to society.
Young at heart.
A great talker, young at heart.
Winner of 7 Emmys. I mean, very accomplished man.
Yeah.
But that was not basically what it was about that night.
No, basically not. We had Jude LaCava there. I thought Bill Strauss did a fabulous job. There were some incredibly bright people on stage.
Well, they nailed him pretty good.
Tim Hattrick was there emceeing the entire event. It was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Hats off. It was called a tip of the hat to Pat McMahon. So hats off to Pat McMahon.
I have to say, of the night, Rita Davenport was like my favorite. She's such a Southern lady. And she basically just threw zingers at him, you know, for 10 minutes. But can I just tell you a couple of them that were my favorite?
Oh, okay. Some one-liners?
Yeah. So she said that Pat's so old, he's seen rainbows in black and white. You know, nobody really knows his age. You cannot find his birth year online or anything. And he almost gave it away the other night, but then he forgot. He couldn't remember, right? She said he has a gene pool that needs a lifeguard. She said that she has a Southern woman. She loves a man that's short because he can't see her roots. I mean, she just went on. She was so charming. She was so cute. And he enjoyed every minute.
I know this. I have never seen Pat genuinely belly laugh from the marrow of his bones as hard as he was laughing that night. So he took it very well.
Well, they told him he had a talking addiction. And Jude said that he was happiest when he was doing most of the talking. And that he had joined the On and On and On Club, which is a recovering addicts for talking too much.
The On and On and On Club. Pat McMahon. Well, how about the governor? Did you get the request from the governor that I got yesterday?
You know what? I'm not as privileged as you are. I'd like to know how you get on this list.
I got invited to dinner with Donald Trump.
Now, really?
I did.
I'm going to get into your email.
It was a raffle ticket I had to buy.
Oh, sucker.
And I didn't buy it. But Governor Doug Ducey is asking for everyone's opinion on how to improve the state fair. State fair questionnaire. You go to azgovernor.gov. The questionnaire is right there. He wants to know your ideas for enhancing.
My ideas? I'll give him some ideas. I think you should level. I think
no
you should
one's
level
been to more.
Place.
No one's been more state fairs than you. I know that.
Well, when
so
the kids
you're
were
an authority
young,
on it.
And we were homeschooling. We did the Maricopa County Fair every year. The kids entered all kinds of crafts and food. And then our two youngest girls clogged. So we were there for every state and county fair for 15 years.
Yeah.
And now it's the home shows. I tell you, after a day down there, you feel like you have to come home and take a shower. It's just dirty. The asphalt. And then how about the flood? What year was that the flood happened? We had a downpour.
It was a year I had to fly out. I left, remember?
It was a fantastic storm. But, I mean, they had workers out up to their waist in water trying to get people out of there. It just needs to be leveled, raised up, and made pretty. Think about the investment.
Some citizens here that feel like those buildings have historic value, and they want them historic protected.
There are a few, but let's take out all the asphalt and the ones that aren't historic, and let's make it someplace. How about the Coliseum? When they talk about the headlining guys that come to sing, the entertainers, what do you think they think when they walk into that Coliseum?
You know, I haven't been in the Coliseum. I was down there helping the Katrina refugees. And I have not.
That was pretty rough.
And we what did we fly in? I think 1,100, I think. And kept them there in the madhouse on McDowell for about a month. But that's the last time. That's the last time I've been in the Coliseum.
Well, we started going there in the early 1980s, and it was really old then. So can I fill out that survey?
Yeah, yeah.
Would you forward that to me?
You bet. Jennifer has some ideas for you, Gov. Speaking of improving environments and habitats and creating really neat and cool spaces, I bet a couple of the guests that we've got in this morning could help the governor come up with something clever for the state fairgrounds. I've got two architects in studio this morning that I had lunch with about 2 months ago. And some of you may or may not know that I wanted to start my life as an architect. I got a job with an architect who convinced me I should be an engineer. And so I became an engineer. But I've got an old friend, actually all the way back to high school, James Hand. James, thanks for coming in and joining us this morning, my friend.
Well, thank you, Rosie. It's good to be here.
One of the more local, accomplished kids from school. You have really made a name for yourself.
Oh, well, thanks, Rosie. It's actually been fun. It's been fun to watch the city grow up over the past more years than I can count, actually, now.
Oh, yeah. And I can remember coming back from college and starting my little construction company, and then I would see designs by James Hahn, and I just figured it was some other James Hahn.
We hit ourselves pretty well.
I knew a James Hahn, but it couldn't be this guy. You have done some incredible buildings here in town.
Oh, well, thank you, Rosie. Appreciate your thoughts.
And you have brought in a good friend, Nick Sontakis. Nick, thanks a million for coming in, and I've been an admirer of your work ever since you got to town.
Thank you so much, Rosie. It's great to be here.
I've been an admirer from afar. We've never done any work together, but boy, I love your stuff. I guess we've done one master bathroom together, right?
That's right. But we didn't meet on site.
We never did. We never did meet.
The client kept us apart.
Well, I brought you guys in because, one, maybe we should call a summit meeting with the governor. Would you guys have any ideas on what to do with the state fairgrounds?
I'm sure we could come up with some.
Now, there's a movement to protect some of those buildings for historic value. I'm real big on historic renovation. We've had Don Ryden on the show many times. I attend the Arizona Historical Preservation Society banquet every year. I love historic renovations, but I have a hard time getting emotionally connected to any of the buildings at the state fairgrounds. I don't know. Am I wrong? Is there some intrinsic value in those buildings down there?
Well, there may be some. I think it's, when you really look at a lot of historical buildings out there, there are some that really are historic and truly should be preserved. But I do think we need to take a good hard look at what's truly historic and what's just simply older.
Yeah.
And also, if you get a group of architects together, I'm sure you're going to get a lot of ideas.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You know, I wanted to take just a couple minutes, and I just want to talk about, I still would love, if I could have written my career, I would have written myself in as an architect. I would love to be able to do what you guys do, create the spaces, the confines, and the feelings of your buildings. But like I say, I worked for an architect for a little while, and I mean, I was only there like 2 days, and he started saying, "Rosie, you'd make a great engineer. You should go into engineering." And so I ended up doing that. But are architects born? Do you have that innate ability just to conceptualize those just jaw-dropping, awe-inspiring spaces just right out of your head?
Well, let me tell you, George Costanza also wanted to be an architect, and yeah, it sounds glamorous and so on, but...
Wait. Can we get a verification Rosie knows who George Costanza is?
That's Seinfeld.
Good job. All right. I didn't think you'd get that.
but, But, you know, I have to say, it's something that people, I would say, some are born with it. It's not something that you can actually learn, although it does require a lot of education. And the more background you have, the better your designs will evolve. So there's something to say about it. Some people just think as architects. Other people just cannot think that way.
Oh, I mean, I was working for George when ASU's School of Architecture building, I don't even know if they're still meeting in there, but, you know, that was 1974 or something. And Mies van der Rohe gave the commemoration speech to dedicate the building. And I thought, well, this is really cool.
Yeah.
But
was he drinking martinis at the time?
You know, in the group we were with, he probably was, yeah. But I went into that. Were you ASU, James?
Actually, I was at ASU, and I remember the old building. Yeah. They have built a new one since then, but I do remember the old building and actually George back in those days.
Yeah, well, when George Christensen and my dad walked me into that area called the studio, and George says, now, you'll go to class in the morning, but you'll spend from roughly noon to 10 or 11 at night in this space for the next 3 years. That's when I started to think of engineering.
That's a good time to start thinking about it. And 10 or 11 at night is actually a little conservative.
Yeah. I mean, you guys just lived in that studio space, didn't you?
Pretty much. And for just about 3 years. And it was a lot of fun. You know, I found when we were there, I think we learned as much from our other students as we did from the professor. So it was actually a very good experience from that standpoint.
Well, my roommate was an architect, Nick Bartels. I was good friends with Jim Hoffman. He actually designed a home for us up in the north side of the valley back when we were just right after we got married. So I hung out with a lot of architects, and I had a lot of fun with them. Bruce Kimball was probably one of my best friends for nearly two decades, so we had a lot of fun. When we get back, we're going to talk more about the value of great design. Stay tuned.